Welcome to this very special episode of Stop the Machine with me, Gilly Smith. This month we revisit Compassion in World Farming's Livestock and Extinction Conference earlier this month, or hashtag Extinction17, as it's known in social media land. With the partnership of the World Wildlife Fund UK, it was the very first of its kind to examine the devastating impact of livestock production on animals, people and the planet. The two-day conference had some of the most respected speakers from across the globe discussing conservation, biodiversity, agriculture, health, land and water use, the environment, climate change, ethics and food security. I caught up with Tony Juniper, CBE, who advises the Prince of Wales, among others, on sustainability and the environment, and who welcomed the unusually joined-up thinking.
I think this is very timely and hugely important in being able to fix what was a missing piece of the sustainability movement, which is really the fundamental links that lie between environmental trends and animal welfare and human health. And all of these things we know are fundamentally related, but we go as long as though they're not. And so having this opportunity for so many leaders from these different worlds to come together, I think is very important indeed. And to be able to see that the way we treat animals, climate change, biodiversity, extinction, the future of human well-being, all these things are actually connected in very fundamental ways. And so being able to see that and to know that we can find common cause across so many apparently disparate issues and disciplines, I think is extremely valuable.
Carl Safina, author of Beyond Words, had just come off stage as one of the panellists discussing sentient beings. He agreed with Tony Juniper that the conference speakers had painted the bigger picture.
I'm very impressed about the whole idea behind this conference, because normally the humane concerns and the humane people and the conservation people don't even know how to talk to one another and are never in the same conference together. It's, on the one hand, it's pigs can't move around, we need to get them a bigger cage. And on the other hand, it's they're cutting down the forests, they're emptying the oceans. Now, how do people talk to each other if those are their main concern? And here, I think that chasm has been bridged, because this whole thing about compassion in farming and conservation is in the same room, on the same panels, and the common themes are finally emerging. And they have to do with the scale of agriculture and the kind of agriculture that we have, because those affect all of those components that all these different people are concerned about. But this conference is, I think, the first and best way of bringing them together that I've really seen. I've been to a couple of other conferences where the need for it came up, or they attempted it, and it was still just like some of the talks were about cruelty, some were about conservation. But I think that these talks are pulling it together, and that's crucial. That's what is needed.
It's about joining up the thinking, isn't it?
Yeah.
You said something really important, and I tweeted it, and you said, we are the flood. All those animals in the kind of the fairy tale story we used to tell our kids about the ark, they are all facing extinction, and it's because of us. That was a very powerful statement.
There are too many people in the world for the rest of the living world to continue to survive, and the evidence for that is we have fewer forests and smaller forests. We have vastly fewer grasslands. We have degraded most of the rivers. We have depleted most of the oceans. So all the other living things are at their lowest population levels ever, and most are still declining very rapidly compared to any other time in history. There are some places that are recovering, and they show that it works. If you give nature a chance, nature does try to recover, as long as there's something to recover from.
Author and TV environmentalist Raj Patel is known as the rock star of the environmental movement after his book Stuffed and Starved hit the New York Times bestseller list. He says that what's needed is a fundamental rethink.
I do think we do need a systems change, and that means, you know, we certainly have to start with us. We can't be doing sort of systems change for people in the global south while we drive around our gas boats. That makes no sense. So I do think that means a reckoning with our past and what it is that we have consumed in order to be able to make this world look the way it does, but also a creative engagement and looking for leadership from the global south, because actually some of the best ideas around farming and sustainability and a range of human welfare indicators are coming not from the universities of the global north, but actually from the fields of the global south.
Is that what your program is about?
Yes. I've been following farmers in Malawi for the past 6-7 years, and this is a long project called the Soils, Food and Healthy Communities Project. And what they've been doing is ending child malnutrition by embracing agroecology, growing a diversity of crops, but also by getting men to be equals in the home, so by having gender equality, and then also fighting for better access to healthcare and better access to water. And so it's not, there's no magic bullet for this, for ending hunger in Africa, but there is a magic process where farmers become scientists, become activists, become cooks, become politicians. And that's what we're telling the story about, particularly when a lot of those gains are being imperiled by climate change. And so what they've done is come to the United States and spoken to folk in the US who are perhaps climate change skeptics and tried to persuade them. And I think that interaction between farmers is something that's going to be very interesting to watch.
As well as the keynotes and panel discussions, it was an opportunity to meet some of the lobbyists banging the drum for sustainability. Alistair Curry was manning the Population Matters stall.
Population Matters is a campaigning charity which believes we can't have true sustainability while we're still adding the number of people to the planet that we are at the moment. Every person consumes resources, every person emits carbon, every person is essentially in competition. So we believe that things that we can do to bring down population growth as rapidly as we can in an ethical manner will really help to sort out our sustainability problems, our food problems, and many of our socioeconomic problems as well, in terms of international development, in terms of global justice. In fact, what we have seen at this conference is there has been talk about population. There's been recognition that population is driving the demand for food, which is one of the things that's driving industrial agriculture, and both directly and indirectly. The more people we have on the planet, the more that affects on the natural world. It is a factor that's leading to extinctions, which is one of the themes of this conference. And we feel that's part of the discussion that needs to be had here, and we've found people very receptive.
It was also where grassroots campaigners from all over the world could share their stories and strategies. Rosa Diez-Tagaro told me about the plight of the pig in Aragon.
I'm from Spain. I'm from Aragon. That's the north of Spain. I'm from Loporzano. I'm presenting a local grassroots movement. We are the citizens opposing factory farming in our villages. They are very small villages, and the situation in Spain is very, very difficult. It's very serious, and it's very urgent that we find a way to fight this in an organized way. We have the support of many organizations, including Compassionable Farming and WWF Spain. So we are very happy to be here today and join all these people that are supporting a change in the food system that we find is vital, particularly for small villages, small communities whose lives are endangered.
Why are they so endangered?
We're endangered in many ways. There's pollution of the water because of the nitrates. In my area, the main threat is pig factory farming. That means pollution of the air, pollution of the land, pollution of the water. There's also a huge impact on landscape. And we live in an area that is very rich in wildlife, birds. Our rivers are very clean, so we don't want to lose any of that. And it's also a problem of who wants to live in the country. In Spain, we have a very serious problem of losing population in rural areas. And of course, if you want people to live in rural areas, they want to go to a place where the air is clean. Because what's the point of moving to a rural area if you're going to live in a polluted land?
And this is terribly sad, of course, because one thing we do know about Spain, or one of the mythologies of Spain, is that you have a real connection with your countryside and your animals. Mm-hmm. And the pig, of course, has always been, you have the festival of the pig. So this must be a cultural death for you as well.
The main problem is that people are not aware of this. In Spain, people don't know where their food comes from. So, of course, it's true that we have this connection, and it is in our culture. But people still believe that pigs are free roam in the countryside and eating flowers. So until we get all this information out to the people, we cannot really exploit this connection.
And it was an opportunity to bump into old friends. De-extinction author Helen Pilcher was here to take some ideas home to the family.
Helen Pilcher, we met you in Philip's podcast a couple of months ago in Wilderness.
Yes.
What did you think of this morning's speeches?
I thought this morning's speeches were fabulous. I thought they were really, really thought-provoking. I thought there were some really good take-home messages there, simple take-home messages. But most of all, it gave me hope that we can do things differently, that we do have the power to change, and that there seems to be this movement towards making a change kind of at the government level, but right down to the level of just kind of inspiring our kids. So that was one of the things that I sort of took away from this morning that I felt very positive about. You know, I felt the mood was upbeat, and I like that about it.
What will you be taking home and telling your children?
Eat more vegetables. That's a difficult one as parents to persuade your kids to do. And to eat less meat. I mean, those are the two key messages, right, out this morning that as mums we can go home and say to our kids straight away. So what I want to take out of this when I come home is feeding my family better, me making the choices to feed them better, to inspire them to keep those choices rolling as they grow up and make a difference in the food choices that they make later in their life.
Dominic Wimmel is from the Durrell Wildlife Conservation Trust.
The reason why I think this conference is so, so important is because it's the first time that an international spotlight's been shone on the biggest issue that faces biodiversity loss. You know, the machine of factory farming is literally steamrolling this planet. When I go to South America, I see vast areas of forest just literally decimated for soybean crops. I see huge areas just destroyed for, you know, cattle farming. I think 30% of South America is under the hoof now. Conservation organisations really need to highlight that we can save biodiversity by the choices we make on our plate. Even the conservationists in Brazil, I go out there, and in the evening they all sit around the barbecue eating steaks.
David Nally is a lecturer at Cambridge and came away with plenty of ideas to discuss with his students.
I get a lot from these events. It reminds me that there's a lot of really independent, non-conventional, thinking outside the circle, whatever way you want to phrase it. There's a lot of really expressive political opinion out there, and it's about disseminating that. And that's partly the role of education, sharing opinion, nurturing values, debating values, disagreeing and seeing if there's room for consensus, and from that then nurturing policy and nudging policy and so on.
Ella had just finished a Master's in Food Policy at City University in London. She told journalism student Fiona McGeever why the messages from this conference must get out into the world, however hard it is to hear.
I think a lot of my friends who don't study anything to do with food policy or food systems would have sat through this morning and just been completely captivated and, you know, said, oh my god, I can't believe I didn't know that, like, and really wanted to learn that. And I think there is a barrier between the general public who are, you know, they're concerned consumers who want to change, they want to make positive choices, but there's somehow that information isn't getting to them, and I think that's a real shame.
Why do you think that is?
I imagine like a lot of marketing, like from big business, probably hampers a lot of that. I think people like to make the first step of learning that kind of information, I think they shy away from it because it's not nice information to know. But I think once you get the hook, then I think people really want to know. Like I found this morning, I was like stopping myself from covering my eyes at some of the images and shutting my ears off from what people were saying, because it's not pleasant to learn this information.
As well as chatting over a plant-based lunch, delegates could tie their suggestions to an ideas tree. I caught up with 26-year-old Bella Crowe from Nourish Scotland as she was adding hers.
Basically, I think that the question about how we're going to end industrial livestock production is one where power is central. And if we're going to challenge the power in the current food system, then we need to really be empowered ourselves. And I think there's really exciting opportunities coming up. In Scotland, for example, we've got a new promise of new legislation for the food system, new framework legislation, and this is something that we've seen civil society in Scotland really coalesce around and feel energized about, that actually, hang on, there's a chance now to put these ideas about food democracy into practice. However, we've still got an incredible array of vested interests that are making sort of a more food sovereignty, more democratic control of our food system very difficult. Access to land might be one thing that Nourish Scotland, which has been doing some research and found that, you know, we've got nearly 1,000 people, young people in Scotland who would be interested in starting small-scale agroecological farming. Access to land is a massive barrier. Until we actually think about how we're going to challenge these vested interests a bit and make it easier to get involved in the food system, make it easier to make good food choices, make it easier to have, you know, yeah, a different model that isn't about individual behaviour choice, but is more about let's change the whole system, let's change the structure.
As the delegates dined on plant-based dishes, including the Beyond Meat Burger, a future food backed by Bill Gates and Twitter founder Biz Stone, Philip invited Compassion patron Joanna Lumley to the stage, to the delight of the international audience.
Joanna Lumley. It's like the echoing room. I'd be speaking to you with clumps of food on my teeth.
And as the sun went down over Westminster, Philip Limbury reflected on the success of the conference.
We've had an amazing 2 days, and what we wanted to do was to bring together two very powerful constituencies, the conservation world and the animal welfare world, and form a new movement. And I think that's what we've done here today. And there's so much enthusiasm for doing amazing things, like working together to achieve something special, to achieve a reduction in the production of meat, dairy and eggs worldwide by 50% by 2050. Now, that's a very ambitious target, but if we are going to, you know, stop factory farming, if we're going to save wildlife, if we are going to genuinely stop the demise of the ecosystem services that our future generations are going to need to feed themselves, then we've got to achieve that. So moving to a system which is about more plants, less meat, making sure that the meat and dairy comes from pasture-fed, free-range, organic, these are the kind of things which there is a real enthusiasm to make that happen.
Josh Bulk is the Vice President of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States and was going home with an uplifting message from the conference.
I come out with a lot of hope. And the reason being is that this room, this event was filled by a lot of brilliant minds who are tackling the issue of factory farming from a whole host of ways, whether it's through technology via plants or clean meat or different types of effective advocacy, working with corporations at reforming how animals are raised. There's just a whole host of efforts going on that make me think that the world is going to be a kinder place for animals. So I'm leaving really happy with a lot of vision that the future is going to be a lot better than it is now for animals who are in food production.
Thanks for listening. Over the next podcast episodes, we'll be looking more deeply at the issues covered by the conference, from human population to superbugs, future foods to sentient beings. So do subscribe to Stop the Machine via iTunes or your podcast app.